Now, if you would, turn to the book of James in the New Testament. James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you again for your precious, precious word. A light unto our feet. A light unto our path. And Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that we live in this age of grace. Lord, that we can hold a copy of your precious word from Genesis to Revelation. What blessed people we really are. Lord, how blessed it would really be if we would actually do what it says. So, oh God, I ask that you'll speak through this dust. I'm nothing without you. God, may we take heed to your perfect law of liberty. And Lord, may we live it and be witnesses for you out in the field, Lord, in which we live. For the praise of your glory, we ask it in the name above every name in which we pray. And that's Jesus we pray in. Amen. You may be seated. The rallying cry. In America, we are being told to rally around individuals, rallying around parties, and rally around this and rallying around that. But we as God's people, we need to return back to what we ought to be rallying around. Return back to what we ought to be loving. And we ought to be loving the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious Word. We need to rally around God's Word. If we rally around any other person, whether you rally around some great pastor or rally around some great teacher or some great movement in America, it won't amount to nothing unless we rally around God's Word. As God's people, we need to return to what God says, because what God says should be the most important thing that's ever been said to us as born-again believers. It doesn't matter what some great philosopher might have said. It doesn't matter what some great historian might say. It matters, though, what God says about everything that applies to our daily lives. Amen? It matters what God says. So that's what we should rally around, is God's Word. In our passage in this morning in James chapter 1, the context of this, it's that the church was under great persecution, and that the trials of their life that they were going through would make them perfect and complete, that they would remain faithful and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have this great verse that speaks about being a doer of God's Word and not just a hearer only. Here I am, I have this great opportunity to speak to you, to read God's Word, to expound on God's Word to many ears this morning and ears out over the internet. And yet, you and I both have to decide now, are we going to do what God's Word says, or are we going to go do our own thing? That's the context. Are you going to be a doer of this Word? Are you going to be a doer to apply it to your heart and life in such a way that it actually changes your life? Will you do it? Are you just going to be a hearer only, like it says that, like a man beholding his face in a mirror, and then as soon as he turns away, he forgets what he looks like? And many times when we do our daily devotional and times in our closet, those secret times between us and a personal God who wants to have a relationship with us through His Word and through secret prayer to the Lord God through Jesus Christ, those times that we have, and if we just did that, but yet we turn around and forget what God's told us in His Word. And forget that time of prayer and walking close to the Lord. You see, there's a big difference of doing the work and living that work or forgetting about it. So, Scripture, it says, therefore, it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, or lives in it, in such a way that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Everyone look here. Okay? Continuing in it, living it in this perfect law. Now, what does that mean? When we think of perfection here in this life, you know, we may say that is perfection. You know, a new vehicle or something new or a child that's a perfect child. But we know in this life things change. That perfect vehicle gets old. That perfect, innocent little child grows up and says no. Perfection. I know y'all think that I'm perfect, but let me tell you something, I'm not. I'm not. Okay? Nothing is totally perfect in this life. Nothing. It's full of changes and, you know, I think of just myself when I was young. I'd have pimples on my face when I started shaving, and then I got that cleared up and my hair started falling out. My teeth are falling out and I can't see anymore. Nothing is perfect. Nothing. Nothing. Perfection. And yet God says that His Word is perfect. Perfect law of liberty. It is God's Word that will set us free. Amen? Only God's Word will set you free because it tells you of faith in a loving, living Lord that will set you free from sin. It's perfect. And this word perfect, I looked it up in the Greek, and I can't speak English that well, but the Greek word says teleos, and it means what is highest and preeminent. The highest and the most preeminent. So God's Word is perfect. It is the highest. So who cares what some philosopher says? What God says trumps and is preeminent over whatever man may say. So are you going to live what a philosopher, an astrologer may say? Or are you going to live what God says? God says what He says is perfect. It is the highest. It is the most preeminent thing that we can ever hold in our hands or read. It is perfect. It is preeminent above anything else. And the church ought to say hallelujah. It's perfect. Need to read it. Let it change your life because it's perfect. It is the highest. It is the living Word of God. What God says and it is written down, it ought to be so important to us that we can't wait to read it and apply it to our hearts and lives. It is the light unto our path. It is the lamp unto our feet. When the Holy Spirit of God illuminates it, it'll change your life. It is God's Word that'll make you complete. What else do you need? It is perfect. It's more than what any man could say. It is preeminent. But we get in trouble when some man adds to it or takes away from it or says, that ain't what it really means. Let's study this Eastern religion over here. Let's study this mystic philosopher over here. And let's bring it all together and add it to God's Word. And Jesus told the devil during His temptation, it is written. Don't change it. Don't you change God's Word. Don't you add nothing to it. It is Jesus and only Jesus who we need for salvation. It's not Jesus plus something else. It is written. Scripture is perfect. It, what God says is perfect. It is preeminent. It's the highest. And also, it's this Scripture that perfects us. It perfects us. Because when we are in this perfect law of liberty and studying it and meditate on it, and our delight is in the law of God, it perfects us. It makes us complete. Here's a great example here in 2 Timothy. If you would, turn there with me to 2 Timothy. It's amazing how in the latter days it speaks so much of God's Word and what God's Word ought to mean to you and I in the latter days. And I believe we're in the latter days. Amen? We're here. We're seeing the warning judgments upon America that was founded upon Christianity, and yet we've allowed so much other hogwash and philosophies and other religions to infiltrate Christianity that we don't even know who we are anymore because we have left God's Word. We need to get back. We need to get back and rally around God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So if you want to live godly in Christ Jesus, you can be good and godly and all that, but when you add Christ Jesus to it, the world don't like it. All those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Only thing we need to do is say, it is written in God's Word. We can overcome the deception. It is written. Verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in," everyone say, "Christ Jesus." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complete, perfect, sufficient in every good work. If you want to know how to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to serve the Lord, then get in the book. Read the book. It'll tell you how to love the Lord Jesus. It'll tell you how to serve Him. It'll tell you how to get along with each other. Get in the book. Because it makes us complete. If you want to be a better person, then read God's Word. Read it. It makes you complete. It'll make you mature. It'll make you a full-grown person in Jesus Christ. Complete. Why? It helps us to be sufficient, completely qualified to serve the Lord. You know what? One of the main qualifications of serving the Lord is that the book tells us that we're nothing apart from the vine. Nothing. You cannot do nothing apart from Jesus Christ that'll please God. Nothing. Because only faith pleases God. Faith in the Son of God pleases God. So the first priority and preeminent thing of God's Word says, you're a sinner, you're lost, you're undone, and apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. If you want to be complete in serving the Lord, get in the book. Read the book because it makes us complete. It makes us perfect. Not that we are above sin in any way. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. But this word means complete. And someday I will see Him face to face, and then I will be in His perfection for all eternity. I'm not there yet. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing on. You press on in God's Word. So Scripture perfects us. Why? Why is it so important to have such a high standard of Scripture, knowing that it is the perfect law, it is preeminent, and it's the highest? Why is it so important for the child of God to realize that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Why must we return and rally around God's Word? Because it's about the perfect Savior. In the volume of the book, it is written of Him. The book is about Jesus. That's what it's about. It's about how we are to realize about His grace and His love and His mercy and His wrath. It's about how we are to live for Him and love Him and serve Him. It's about Him. I know that is a slap in the face to the generation of today, that it's all about me and what I can get and send this seed in and get that seed back, and it's all about me. If you just believe, you'll get that promotion, you'll be well, and everything will be perfect because it's all about you. But that's false, because it's all about Jesus and what Jesus can do. That's what the book's about. Get in it, read it. Because if you get in the book, you will know deception when it's right there. You'll know it. So it's about a perfect Savior and Lord. Look in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We're studying verse by verse through Hebrews on Wednesday nights. In Hebrews chapter 9, read the whole book of Hebrews. I mean, it's a great book. Read with me verses 11 through 14 of Hebrews chapter 9. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect, everyone say perfect, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. In the heavenly tabernacle, which God took three whole books in the Old Testament that explained in detail of the tabernacle in the wilderness and how to approach a holy God on God's terms, Jesus Christ went in the heavenly tabernacle, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but His own blood. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant, not the Pope, not some father, but who? Jesus. Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the go-between to a holy God. You must approach God on His terms and not on your terms. He's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He was the perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. Only He could offer the sacrifice of His own blood so that we can have forgiveness once for all eternity. Hallelujah! He sanctifies forever. He died once. He shed His blood once. And He offered it in the heavenly tabernacle on our behalf. Sir, you cannot do that. Ma'am, you can't do that. Because you're a sinner. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You must by faith receive the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God. Only He can do it. He did it. The perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect Redeemer. He paid the sin debt for you and I, and only He can do it. He is the perfect High Priest. We don't need any other High Priest. Now you are a priest. Now you can enter the holiest of holies with boldness and confidence of assurance that you're forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Sir, you can't do that yourself. You need a Redeemer. You need a Savior. His name is Jesus. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect example on how to show us how to love God and to serve God. God Himself came in the flesh to show us and to be our example. What more do we need? He's perfect. I said, my Jesus is perfect. And in the latter days, we need to get back to His perfect Word, because what He says matters. What He says matters. He's the perfect Savior. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? To really know Him, you got to be right in this. To know Him personally, you got to believe this. You got to believe the book. That's it. To live for Him, you got to be in this. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I'll be here to help anybody that I can. The only thing I can do is tell you about the One who can really help you. That's all I can do. I can't help you. But I can tell you about someone who can. Amen? I'll be here to help anybody. Won't you come this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious, precious Word. And God, again, we thank You, Lord, for the blessing to have Your Word. God, may we be a blessing to others because we are in Your Word and in Your book, and we will be blessed by You, it says. You say it. God, help us believe. Oh, if we just have a grain of a size of a mustard seed and what You say, we can remove and move mountains. God, we thank You for the miracles of salvation that we're seeing You do in our church and community, and we praise You for it. God, most of all, may we at Cooper Baptist Church be known as people of the book for Your glory. Amen.